Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay and have had a great weekend. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Monday, July 7th. Coming up today, we'll hear from a Kent charity about how to recognise the subtle signs of alcohol addiction as we mark Alcohol Awareness Week. We've also spoken to the founder of a new school who's hoping to bridge the gap between mainstream and SEND schools for so-called corridor kids. But first, taking a look at our top story today. A grandmother says she's been forced back into homelessness and is living out of carrier bags after being kicked out of her makeshift home. Kelly Cardwell said her life was finally getting back on track after a year of sofa surfing when she found a converted garage room to rent. Alex Langridge has been following this story. She's with me now on the podcast. Alex, first of all, can you tell me a little bit about the flat and how Kelly came to be living there?
So Kelly had been sofa surfing for around a year and constantly looking for properties, but she'd been struggling to secure a tenancy due to having an IVA. An IVA is an option for people to deal with their debts by agreeing with creditors to pay off what is owed for an insolvency practitioner. However, it does negatively impact your credit score and therefore can affect being approved for new rented properties if your landlord asks for a credit check, which is what Kelly had been finding was happening. She entered the contract after falling on hard times following a breakup of a long-term relationship and dealing with some health issues. In January, however, she came across a listing in Northleigh of a converted garage room on Flatmate Finding Service spare room and saw that the landlords were not asking her for a credit check. So she applied and was accepted. As the room was a converted garage and it previously been used as an office, it did have electricity and water. However, there was no windows or bathroom, but she could use the main house for those facilities if she needed them.
Now, council inspected the property and told Kelly she had to leave. Can you tell us why?
The council came and issued an emergency prohibition order on the garage room, and they said it posed an immediate risk to Kelly's health and safety.
And what have council said about it?
Following the order, the council originally put Kelly up in temporary accommodation in Chatham for 2 weeks, but that ended on June 13th and Kelly was forced back into homelessness. In a statement, Gresham Council have said, "We are sorry to hear about Miss Cardwell's current housing situation, which understandably is causing her a great degree of stress. Using discretionary powers, we have provided temporary accommodation to Miss Cardwell for 2 weeks due to the circumstances she finds herself in. However, we do not have a statutory duty to ensure temporary accommodation is made available to her while we continue to work with her to resolve her housing situation." They've also gone on to say that they will continue to work with Miss Cardwell to help her find a home and have put steps into a personal housing plan. They also outlined steps that she should take to help resolve her current housing situation.
Thanks, Alex.
Kent Online News.
A father and son are due in court later after a crash in Southfleet killed a four-year-old boy. 53-year-old Patrick Morn and Owen Morn, who's 27, from Hill Rise in Darenth, are both accused of murder. The little boy's dad was seriously injured in the collision that happened on New Barn Road on June 1st. At the time of recording today's podcast, they were scheduled to enter their pleas this afternoon. Firefighters have been tackling a fire at a derelict school in Chatham. Crews in six engines were called to the old St John Fisher building on Ordnance Street yesterday afternoon. People living nearby were initially told to keep windows and doors closed because of the smoke. A Strood man who drove while disqualified for a second time has been warned he faces jail if he does it again. Ross Bourne was pulled over after being spotted by officers in Gillingham last November. The 42-year-old from Kitchener Road has been given another driving ban. He's also been ordered to do 150 hours of unpaid work. A Sheerness driver who overtook another car at speed and then crashed into a field has been given a driving ban. Russell Marchant had been drinking before getting behind the wheel of his friend's van and crashing on Laysdown Road a year ago. The 41-year-old from Alma Road was seriously injured. He's also been fined. Problems with the water supply are continuing in Whitstable almost a week after taps first ran dry. Around 500 homes are still affected with either no water at all or very low pressure. South East Water has apologised, saying teams have been working to remove trapped air from a key pipeline. We've been hearing from a Kent charity on how to spot the subtle signs of alcohol dependency in the workplace. It's a new campaign from the Kenwood Trust, which will feature the real-life stories of people whose alcohol use impacted their working lives. Mark Holmes is residential manager for the Trust. He's been chatting to Nicola.
It's very much about education, really, because what we've identified is that not a lot of people actually understand what alcohol dependency is, and particularly if they have jobs in industries that have a big sort of social aspect to them, you know, sort of lots of business lunches or, you know, lots of away days that include alcohol, and how that could potentially ultimately catch up with people.
So when we talk about dependency, what do we mean? I mean, is that, a couple of drinks a week? Is it needing alcohol every day? Where does it start to become a problem?
It's a great question, and I think this is where most people get sort of caught out because the traditional let's say Christmas do at work when you wake up the next morning you feel a bit groggy, that's just overindulgence. But alcohol dependency is sort of more measured by sort of symptoms and sort of ongoing symptoms, and also the sort of collection of all of that. So, for example, are you waking up and shaking? Are you waking up sort of sweating in your sleep? Are you not feeling better until you've had an alcoholic drink in the morning? And what we've identified is, and particularly from anecdotally from a lot of our residents, is that there's a lack of knowledge about alcohol dependency. So what we're hearing is a lot of residents say, "I knew I couldn't stop drinking," and just to sort of reiterate what alcohol dependency means. You can die from withdrawals from alcohol. You're very likely to have withdrawal seizures. People talk about DTs. DTs actually mean delirium tremors, where you're hallucinating things. And people drink to combat those because there are only two things you can do to combat withdrawals. One of them is keep drinking. And the other is to get medical attention.
And you say anecdotally, you've heard that a lot of people who've come to you for treatment say that a lot of others don't understand it. Why do you think that is? Is it a difficult subject to talk about? Is it something we don't like to discuss, really?
I think it is something difficult to talk about. If I use the sort of, for example, if I said to you tomorrow, "Oh, I've given up smoking," you'd say, "Oh, great." Or if I said to you, "Oh, I've given up heroin," you'd say, "Really great." But if somebody goes on a night out and said, "I'm not drinking," 9 times out of 10, the response from a group of friends is, "Oh, no, poor you." Or, it's because it's so socially acceptable. So therefore, it is a harder subject to address, definitely. But also as well, it's the other part to your question is that there's a lack of information, and this is a not to kind of nothing against anybody, but I think it is that. So it, for example, a lot of our residents say that if they knew they were alcohol dependent, and there's a process they need to go through. From the, if their GPs, so for example, a lot of them say, "Oh, GP said your liver function tests are really bad. Stop drinking so much." That person goes away thinking, "Oh, I'm a really bad person." However, if the GP had said, "You may be dependent. Let me refer you to Turning Point or sort of somewhere," there's a pathway there. And I think a lot of people say once they know that, then they're much clearer on how to attack and address their issues.
It comes as we mark Alcohol Awareness Week.
Kent Online News.
Next today, we can hear about a campaign that's underway on our sister radio station, KMFM. They're hoping to replenish food banks across Kent when they face high demand during the school holidays. It's called Tons of Tins, and last year, generous listeners donated more than 9.2 tonnes of food. Nicola's been speaking to Andre Dack from Pie Factory Music in Thanet, which provides food boxes for local families and will benefit this year.
I tried to build a relationship with most people who come through, particularly because you do end up seeing quite often the same people, maybe not on a weekly basis, but you get to familiarize faces, right? And I think a lot of the time, it is the cost of living. And I'd say just over 50% of the people who come through here for the food bank service do have children, and that's a big part of it too. And I do wonder why that's another reason as to why in August we have a big uptake is because of the summer holidays. And so children are off school. So I think the cost of living is a huge, huge aspect which can't really be overstated, frankly.
How does the cost of living crisis particularly affect younger people? Because Pie Factory works with a lot of young people and they're on kind of the real bitter end of it, aren't they? If they're not going to school and perhaps they're going hungry as well.
Yeah, that's exactly what Pie Factory is all about, really, because we offer a range of opportunities for young people to get creative, connect, try new things, learn new skills, explore who they are. And if they are in, environments that are tricky and come from varying degrees of poverty, then it makes services like this even more necessary. And it is hard. You do, I'm not a youth worker myself here, But if you do talk to the youth workers here, they can tell you some pretty harrowing stories. And yeah, it's just really important that we can provide these services, because it is a matter that's only getting worse. The statistics do show that. My first-hand experience, definitely, I can see the uptake in the food parcels that we distribute. We receive them on Thursdays. Sometimes we run out by the weekend. And so people turn up to Pie Factory on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And unfortunately, we're having to turn people away because we don't have the boxes, which is why it's really, really lovely to be part of the tons of, this campaign, because in August, which is usually a really busy month for us for food parcels, we can hopefully offer more parcels to give out to the community.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like Tons of Tins is really going to benefit you guys. What sort of things would ideally you like to be handing out to people? What sort of food?
And a lot of these parcels are tinned goods, chopped tomatoes, potatoes, and you have pasta. You have tins of tuna, sauces for curry and pasta and things like that. You do get the occasional sweet treat too, which is quite nice. Some long-lasting milk, whether that's dairy or oat milk. It's a good variety of things that can hopefully. I think the aim is to keep a family of up to four going for 3 to 4 days. Obviously, there are varying degrees there, because some families eat more than others, so it's not always totally accurate. But that is kind of the main aim, I think.
It's always difficult, isn't it, in 2025 to think that people are going hungry, particularly in the summertime. But unfortunately, that is the time that we're living in. For anyone who's thinking of donating to Tons of Tins and wondering what sort of difference it'll make, what would you like to say to them today?
Unfortunately, despite the fact we're one of the wealthiest countries in the world, poverty, particularly in areas like Thanet, is not getting any better. And in some instances, it's getting worse. For us at Pie Factory, as I said, we receive parcels on a Thursday. Sometimes we're out already by the weekend. And so with these additional parcels that we'll receive in August through the Tons of Tins campaign, that's going to make a massive difference in one of the busiest months that we have for the food parcel service. So any donations, whether it's money or food in general, hygiene products, is going to make a massive difference for young people, but also the families of these young people too, and the wider community in Thanet.
Details of how to get involved are at kmfm.co.uk.
Kent Online News.
Taking a look at another of our most read stories on the website now, there's anger over plans for 45 homes and a care home on farmland in Sandwich. Opponents say building on the field off Deal Road will absolutely spoil the town. The land is currently used to grow wheat and is close to Sandwich Technology School, which could also get some of it for a new sports pitch. We're told the properties would be a mix of one-bedroom flats and 2, 3 and 4 bedroom houses. A controversial Kent landlord has defended a decision to cut down trees across 3 acres of woodland in Maidstone. Millionaire Fergus Wilson says contractors will be sent back in to clear the remaining 9 acres in Boughton-on-Chelsea after nesting season. The woodland was first planted in 1922. It's thought the site could be developed into housing. Plans for 300 homes close to a wild animal park in Kent have been recommended for approval. Developers want to build on farmland near Howlett's in Beaksbourne, just outside Canterbury. The council voted in May to hold off making a decision over concerns about transport links to the site. It's due to be discussed again on Wednesday. Plans to expand a secondary school in North Kent look set to be given the go-ahead. Bosses at Northfleet Technology College want to build a new 2-storey teaching block to accommodate 200 students. It's been recommended for approval when it's discussed by a planning committee on Wednesday. Firefighters have used their all-terrain vehicle to tackle a blaze near Ashford. Crews were called to trees alight on the A2070 in Ham Street late last night. It's not known how it started. Now, the founder of a new inclusion centre in Raynham has told us how it'll support so-called corridor kids. The Daffodil Project's for children with additional needs who are struggling in mainstream education. Magdalena van der Voort has been working with SEN youngsters for 17 years.
We're a nature-based wellbeing centre where children can learn through gardening, cooking. So they're learning a lot through life skills. They can learn a lot of language through communication and also for socialising, because a lot of the time the children children that I'm building the centre for are often left sort of on their own alongside the other children in classes, or if not outside the classroom or in corridors quite often. So I wanted to create a space where they can feel safe. There's only, you know, a few children at a time. So there's like 12 children maximum, and everything, all the groups will be kind of tailored towards the children and their specific needs. So yeah, that's a bit of a hobby.
That's great. That's amazing. I was quite interested in the press release that you sent out about this idea of corridor kids. Could you maybe explain that a little bit for me?
Yeah, so I'm starting this project because I've worked in special schools and in mainstream schools, both doing early intervention for children with autism and also working in special schools teaching various subjects. And I've seen, the more that I've been in mainstream schools, that a lot of the time, if a child has a behaviour or their SEN needs are not met, they're often taken outside the classroom and kind of kept out the classroom, and in quite a lot of cases also never allowed into the classroom. And I feel that obviously that doesn't help their behavior or help their needs at all. So I want to be the bridge between helping them to be able to socialize and be within a group, but it can be in a smaller setting, because it's very isolating for these children. And often children with ASD and such like often anyway struggle with communication and language and knowing how to start conversations. And then when they're also taken outside of the classroom, they kind of never really get that much access to other pupils and children like themselves. So I would like to be that bridge.
And now I know you've already run us through a few of the sessions and sort of activities that are going to be on offer. But could you, talk me through about the different sorts of things that students will be able to do and how that's going to benefit them?
Yeah, brilliant. So our days are going to be structured. It will be Monday to Friday, similar to school days, and we'll be open from 8:30 till 4 p.m. Every day during the term time, and then in the holidays we'll be open from 10 till 3 as a kind of more relaxed sessions, because I'm aware that a lot of children go to school full time, so they are going to want something a little bit more relaxed. So during our term time, it's going to be 3-hour sessions, structured morning session and afternoon session. And in those sessions, we will try and plan the activities towards the age group and towards ability as much as possible and group the children together in those abilities. But if there's, you know, 5 children that would be more interested in the animal care aspect, because we'll have goats and chickens and rabbits and guinea pigs, we can focus their learning through that. Or if there's somebody that really, or some children that really love cooking, we can focus our learning through cooking and learning measuring, and all as well with independent skills. A lot of the children, I would love for them to be able to learn to make a dish from beginning to end completely on their own, so that we can promote their independent skills as they grow. You know, something like a pasta salad, and also using the vegetables from our garden that they've grown and nurtured to kind of make a lovely dish. So every session will be quite flexible and based around the children. So it's really, really child-led and interest-led.
It's due to open next month and will offer sessions in things like animal care, gardening and play therapy. An experienced teacher and Ofsted inspector has been parachuted in to take over a troubled Kent Education Trust. Owen McCoughlin has been appointed to lead Raynham Mark Education Trust, which runs the grammar school and 2 Medway-based primaries. The trust has undergone a turbulent 6 months, having sought to merge with the Veritas Multi-Academy Trust in Deal, but the proposal collapsed.
Kent Online News.
An Ashford woman who attacked police and paramedics has avoided going to prison. A court heard how Frances Gilbert became a one-woman crime wave over the past year after turning to alcohol. The 34-year-old from Linden Road was sentenced for 7 offences and has been placed on a community order. She's also got to pay compensation. A goat's been stolen from an animal sanctuary near Maidstone. CCTV footage shows 4 men climbing a fence to get into Buttercups in Boughton Montchelsea late on Saturday night. The goat, who'd been called Taco by staff, had been taken in after being wandering in Marden the day before. An art trail based on the book We're Going on a Bear Hunt is coming to Dartford next summer. 30 individually painted sculptures of bears will be going on display to raise money and awareness for the Eleanor Hospice. Andrew Hubbard is the CEO.
The art trail is our attempt to engage with the whole community that we serve in North Kent. That includes Gravesend, Dartford and Swanley. And what we want to do is to encourage people to come along to actually see the bears. And this is around, we want to go on a bear hunt. And the idea here is that we actually get people engaged with coming out to see some fantastic art and for the community to understand more about what Eleanor does. So the public will be able to see 30 bears, large bears, and these are bears that are about 1 metre high and about 2 metres long. They will be painted by well-known artists. There is a process to actually choose who's going to paint those artists, and we're looking for submissions from both local and international artists for painting the bears. There will also be 30 smaller bears which will go out with schools, and they will be all over the Dartford area. The bigger bears will be in either the town centre or they'll be in Bluewater. We have relationships with and partnerships with Dartford Council and also with Bluewater. This is one part of what we're trying to do to raise money for the hospice. The hospice costs about £28,000 a day to keep the doors open and to keep the lights on. And we serve literally about 1,000 people at any one time across the whole of Dartford, Gravesend and Swanley. So from my perspective, this is an effort to do two things. One, of course, to raise money to help us to keep the lights on, but two, to actually outreach to our community and tell them more about what we do and how we serve them.
Luke Cole works as a transport manager and has done fundraising for Eleanor in the past. He's been telling us why he's getting involved in their latest project.
My dad was taken into the Eleanor Hospice in Northfleet, actually to give my mum some respite as he was unwell with a terminal illness. And unfortunately, the respite was just a short week and he unfortunately passed away in their care. But the amazing support they gave to my mum and to my brothers and myself was really helpful during the time when he passed. So that's obviously led me to want to do this art trail for the Eleanor, try and give something back to them, try and get other companies, other people on board, get them to understand what the Eleanor's about.
The trail will be on in the summer of 2026. A decision is due on whether to spend £1 million on repairs to Deal Pier. Experts say storm damage has left the structure vulnerable to corrosion. It's been recommended the funds made available by the council. A meeting's due to happen tomorrow. A group of Kent MPs are calling for a new Royal Mail scheme to be scrapped after customers reported post arriving late. People in Tunbridge, Sevenoaks and Tunbridge Wells say they've had to wait up to 2 weeks to get letters following a trial project. It sees first class letters delivered every day from Monday to Saturday, but Mike Martin, Tom Tugendhat and Laura Trott say they've received complaints. Royal Mail say it's early days, but it is being monitored closely. Kent Beach has been named one of the best in the south of England. Margate is the only one in the county to feature in the Times and the Sunday Times list. It's based on things like water quality, cleanliness and car parking. Milford-on-Sea in Hampshire came top.
Kent Online Sports.
Taking a look at cricket, and Kent have suffered back-to-back defeats in the T20 Blast. They lost by 6 wickets at Glamorgan yesterday after a 34-run defeat to Sussex Sharks on Friday night. The Spitfires are back in action in the competition on Wednesday. Elsewhere, there could be changes to the England team following a heavy defeat to India in the second test. They lost by 336 runs at Edgbaston, leaving the series level at 1-1. Kent's Zach Crawley struggled with the bat while it's thought new bowlers could be brought in. Taking a look at rugby, and Kent's Alex Mitchell will start on the bench when the British and Irish Lions play their next friendly game in Australia. They take on the Brumbies on Wednesday. Head coach Andy Farrell's made a number of changes. Ben Earl, who started his career at Sevenoaks, hasn't been included for this one. And head to Kent Online to see pictures of what a new luxury health club in Herne Bay could look like. David Lloyd's is opening its latest site at the Altira Business Park, with construction due to be finished by winter. It'll include indoor and outdoor pools, gym and spa treatments. It'll also create 75 new jobs. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.